Today's daf is Shabbos daf Pei Hei. We are holding on the top of daf Pei Hei Amud Aleph. We were discussing on the Mishnah on Pei Dalet and Beis. The beautiful thing, one of the beautiful things about this parak is that you're not in the sugya for more than a daf really, because every Mishnah, at least so far, because every Mishnah is a brand new topic. So today's topic is about Kilei Zra'im and the geometry necessary to figure out how to avoid Kilei Zra'im. So the Mishnah had said on the bottom of Pei Dalet and Beis that you could take an aruga, a patch of a field that is 6x6 tfachim, and you could plant 5 different types of plants in that 6x6 tfachim field, and you're not going to have any problem of Kilei Zra'im. And the way to do it is by planting along the perimeter of that 6x6 patch. On each border of the perimeter, on each side of the square, you plant a different type of zera, and then in the middle you plant a little area right smack in the middle of the square, and that way it avoids all problems of Kilei Zra'im. So the Gemara had said, how do we know that there is this number, that the number 5 is the magical number of how many you could plant in one patch in a small area? So the Gemara darshaned from a pasuk, because the pasuk had said, so we darshaned that totzi is chad, tzimcha chad, that's two, zeru eha is another two because it's a plural, so that's 4, and tatzmiach is 5. So we see that there are 5 different things you could plant in this one area. So so that's how we know that you could have 5. How do we know that it's in an area of 6x6 tzvachim? So that's what we finished off with yesterday in the very top of Pei Hei Amud Aleph. The kimlu hu l'rabbanan, the chamisha b'shisa l'yanki me'adadi. The Rabbanan knew it. This was a tradition that the Rabbanan had, that an aruga that's 6x6 tzvachim can have 5 things in it, and that there's enough yanika to go around. There's enough nourishment that an area of 6x6 tzvachim can offer to support 5 different plants, and they're not going to mix with each other. That was a tradition the Rabbanan had. So ask the Gemara, Uminalan dahadu kimlu the Rabbanan milsihi, who says the rabbinic knowledge of agriculture is something that we can rely on? Rabbis are very good in halacha, they're very good in hashkafa, they're good in a lot of things. How do we know that their agricultural knowledge is something that's worthwhile to rely upon? If you look at Rashi, Bishir Yanika, how do I know that it's viable, something to rely on? To say that the Chachamim are experts in the working of the land, to know how much yanika, how much nourishment is being drawn from the land, meaning who told humanity that this is the case? How do the rabbis know this? So the Gemara gives an answer. Dam Rabbi Chiya Baraba, Am Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chiya Baraba says the name Rabbi Yochanan. We darshan from a pasuk where the rabbis got this knowledge. My dechsiv, what does the pasuk mean when it says Lo sase gvul reecha asher gavlu rishonim, that you shouldn't encroach on the border of the earlier people made? Gvul she gavlu rishonim lo sasig, the borders that the earlier people used to abide by and used to observe is something that you shouldn't change, that you should keep in place. So meaning there were people that came earlier that used to be careful about keeping a certain distance between one field and another, between one garden and another, between one type of planting and another, and we should keep that tradition alive. We should continue to keep that distance because that's an important distance. That's the real shear of Yanika Bakarka. Who were these Rishonim that had such a tradition of how far they could keep things, or such a knowledge of how far they had to keep things from each other? My Gavlu Rishonim, Amr of Shor Bar Nachmeni, Amr of Yonasan, Tichsiv, the Pasuk says, Eile B'nei Seir, Hachori, Yoshvei Haaretz. So what does that Pasuk mean? Atu Kule Alma Yoshvei Rakia Ninu. Why are the B'nei Seir referred to as the Yoshvei Haaretz, the people who dwell on land? What? Do other people dwell in the Rakia? Dwell in the heavens? No, everyone dwells on the land. It's a very strange way to refer to a people as people who are Yoshvei Haaretz, as an identifying feature of those people. Every person is a Yoshvei Haaretz. Ella, no, what it's trying to tell me is that there was something about dwelling in land that they were particularly good good at that we aren't, that other people aren't. They knew they were great experts in how to dwell in land. Shayu Omrim, they would be able to say, Melo Kanazel Lezayis, they would take a measuring stick and say, this size of area of land is what's necessary to support an olive tree. They would know exactly how much land is necessary to support an olive tree. Melo Kanazel Ligafanim, this size of an area of land is necessary to support grapevines. Again, they were experts in what type of land and how much land can support different types of growth. Malokanazeh l'te'enim. This type of this size of land could support figs. So there, that's the Yoshvei Haaretz. Now we didn't just call them the Seir Yoshvei Haaretz. We call them Eli b'nei Seir Hachori Yoshvei Haaretz. V'chori, what does v'chori mean? Shemarichim es Haaretz, that they were able to smell the land. Meaning they were such great experts in the land that by the sense of smell they could pick up some dirt in one area. They could smell it and they could tell you the different qualities of that land just based on the smell alone. And not only that, the pasuk says v'chivi. Amrav Papa, Shayutom in Asaretz Kechivya. They had this other expertise. When it says Vichivi, Rashi Tosos points out Vichivi is also a name of a people. It's one of the seven Ammin. So Tosos points out Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Delav Hainu Chivi de Shiva Ammin. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about the Chivi of the Shiva Ammin. Shari Enu Dorish Klum, Lama Shemam Kain. We're not darshaning why are they called Chivi. Ela B'nei Seir Gufei Ikri Chivi, Kedichsiv Basivon Chivi. What we're darshaning is, why are the B'nai Seir themselves called Chivi? B'nai Seir are the ones that are the experts, and yet we call them Chivi also. So why are they called Chivi? Because they were able to be Toim as Akarka Kechivya. Not only could they smell the land and be able to tell its different qualities, they were able to taste the land like a snake could taste dirt, a snake, and when they tasted the dirt, they were able to tell the quality of the dirt and what that dirt could support. Ravach bar Yaakov amar chori shenasu b'nei chori minichsehen. Ravach bar Yaakov just says a different part that no, they're called chori because they became free from their properties. Rashi points out on the third wide line, shenitrudu minachlasam v'lo hutzruchu lavor admasan. They were thrown out of their nachla and therefore they couldn't work the land anymore. Kedushiv b'nei Yisav Yerushim. So they were taken over. So they were no longer able to work the land. So it's an expression that they became b'nei chori minichsehen. It's not the kind of freedom anybody wants. Meaning they were free. They didn't have to work anymore. So sometimes people don't want to have to work. They'd like to take a day off. But no one wants to not be able to work. So that's how they became free minichsehen. That's the expression that they became free. Now Tosfos points out over here. So again, what did we just do? All we had is one question, one answer. The Gemara wanted to know how did the rabbis know exactly how much area is necessary to be able to support five different types of plants? We know how they got the number five. That we learned from a pasuk. How did they get the area of 6x6 tefachim as the proper area that's necessary to support five different types of plants? So Gemara says the rabbis didn't know. Earlier generations know, and the Torah told us that we should trust the judgment of the experts, namely the people of Seir, who were experts in the land, and that was the tradition that they had, so we can just carry on the tradition. Where do we know this from? Losasa Gvul Reacha Asher Gavlu Rishonim. That's the Pasuk, Losasa Gvul Reacha. Is that really what the Pasuk of Losasa Gvul Reacha means? The Pasuk of Losasa Gvul Reacha means you shouldn't move a border, that if you have a fence separating your yard and your neighbor's yard, shouldn't pick up the fence and move it a little closer in on your neighbor's yard and expand your own yard. That's Losasa Gvul Reacha. What we refer to as Hasagas Gvul colloquially is not Hasagas Gvul at all. Meaning when people refer to Hasagas Gvul nowadays, what they're really referring to is Yorid L'tochum Nasu Shel Chaveiro. That how could, Hasagas Gvul, a pizza shop opens up next door to another pizza shop. So we call that Hasagas Gvul. But that's not really Hasagas Gvul. That's that's Yorid L'mnasa Shel Chaveiro, going and trying to compete with someone's livelihood, with someone's business. Hasagas Gvul literally means to move the Gvul, to move the border. So Tosfos points out, Lo Sasa Gvul Re'echa, Im Tomer Im Kein Hazorei Klayim Yilak Eshtayim Mishom Lo Sizra Mishom Lo Sasa Gvul. Meaning apparently the Torah is telling me in Isra, the way the Gemara is understanding this Pasuk, is that Lo Sasa Gvul is don't put two types of zra'im too close to each other, because that's going to be a violation of klayim, and you have to trust the differences, the shiurim that were determined by the people of Seir, to determine what's going to be yonik from what, and therefore it's going to be a violation of losasa gavul when you plant klayim. So it says Tosos, every time you plant klayim will be two isurim. You should get two malkios, one for losizra and one for losasa gavul. And we have like that. We have sometimes in the Torah you do one avera and you get multiple Malkius. The Gemara Malkius tries to figure out which is the Avera that can get you the most Malkius. You could do one Meisen, five Malkius, six Malkius, the Sheretz Haaretz, and the Sheretz, right? They figure out exactly what the how many Yisurim could be violated in one shot. So over here it seems like it's two separate Yisurim, two separate Malkius. Uperek Osof Espino, Amar Azrea Klayim, Klayim Lokeshtayim, Mashmud Bechad Klayim in Lokalachas. Now, the problem is, in Mesechus Chulin it says that if you plant two Klayims, you get two separate Malkios. Sounds like if you just plant one Klayim, it's only one Malkus, it's not two Malkios. Yeshlomar de Lolokia Hailav. So Tosa says it is a violation of Losasa Gvul to plant Klayim, but you don't get Malkus on it. Mishum de Kranami Ayriba Sagas Gvul Mamish. Because don't forget, the Pasuk also means something else. It also means Hasagas Gvul, that you're not allowed to pick up your fence and move it further out to expand your property at the expense of your friend. De'ein lokin belav denitan liyishavon, and there's no malchus on belav denitan liyishavon. That's something that you could easily return, because when in the conventional translation of the pasuk, you could easily return it. You just move the fence over, you could move the fence right back. So that you wouldn't get malchus on, because it's belav denitan liyishavon. It's something that's returnable. Va'o davi lav shebichlalos. Plus, it's a lav shebichlalos, meaning it includes multiple isurim within one lashon of lav, so that's called a lav shebichlalos. First answer is a little bit difficult, because what's Tosfos saying? That because it's a lav shenitan lishavon, in the other sense of what it means, so therefore, in this sense of what it means, you can't get malchus on it either. I mean, the way Tosfos understands is that we don't look at each avera, whether it is nitan lishavon, to determine whether you get malchus. We look at the pasuk from which each avera comes, and we say, is this pasuk something that refers to something that's nitan lishavon? If it is, then you can't get malchus on anything else that this pasuk comes to teach me. So that itself is somewhat of a chiddush. Now, this whole concept of kim luhu l'rabbanan, that the rabbanan knew this idea. So Tosfos makes it sound like Tosfos talks about gemiri, that the rabbanan had. Whenever you have a lashon of gemiri, that the rabbanan. Right, Tos says from the Ri and the top Tos, the Hachinami Gemiri, that this was Gemiri. Gemiri generally means Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Some Sofer says no, over here there's no Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. There's no Kimlu L'Rabbanan, doesn't mean any sort of Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. It means Kabbalah Sakadmonim B'Chachmas HaTeva. How does some Sofer know that? Because he read the rest of the Gemara. The rest of the Gemara says that they got it from the earlier generations, not of Tzadikim and Talmid Chachamim and. No, they got it from the earlier generations of Goyim, who happened to be great experts in how to work the land. So they got it from the Chachmas HaTeva. Problem is, in Masechta Rosh Hashanah Dafid Gimel, it's mashma that Kimluhu is Kabbalah Misinai, that the Lashon of Kimluhu generally is Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. So there is a fascinating tshuva in the Chavos Yair, some Kuf Tzadi Beis, where he collects all the different times where we say Lashonos that sound like Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, but they don't actually mean Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Like a lot of times where it says Gemiri, or Hilchasa Gemiri La, and it's not really Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Not every time something that sometimes it just means that we have an ancient tradition that we can't really explain. It's just a tradition that goes very, very far back. What motivates the Chavos Yair to put together such a list? So he was bothered by the Kasha and the Rambam. The Rambam writes in the Akdama to the Pirush HaMishnayos that any time you have a halacha, the Rambam says a person could look at Judaism and be very bothered by the development of halacha. Say, wait a second, we have a machlokas about everything. Oh, you can learn through Daf Yomi, we're already a Shabbos Daf Pehei. How many machlokasim did we have? Every day we have several, one right after the other. So what kind of traditions do we have? We don't know anything. Everything is up in the air. So the Rambam says that could be very, very troubling to a person. That how do we know what we're doing is right? So the Rambam says it's not a breakdown in our tradition. It's not a weakness. The fact that that we have machlokes. It's not because we're unable to have proper traditions. And the raya is that halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Machlokes never snuck in to halacha l'moshe m'sinai. We always have halacha l'moshe m'sinai remains pure, and that's like the guiding light, the raya, that in the places where HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want us to have machlokes, where you can't say elu ve'elu divrei elokim chayim, where it just is, so we are very good at passing on that tradition. So the problem with that statement of the Rambam is that a whole bunch of achronim point out all over Shas. You have machloksim about what seems like halachul Moshe Mishinai. You have machloksim everywhere. So the Chavis Yair has this tshuva where he collects all the different cases where we have machloksim about halachul Moshe Mishinai. He disagrees with the Rambam, but he in that process he collects what is halachul Moshe Mishinai and what's not halachul Moshe Mishinai. A lot of the things that we think are halachul Moshe Mishinai maybe aren't. Maybe it just means they're ancient traditions of some sort or another. That's what the Netziv writes in his Hakdama to the Perish on the Shiltos. He has three Akhtamos to his Perish on the Shiltos, because he published it in three volumes. In each volume, he published another 10-page Hakhtama, very, very long, beautiful Hakhtamos. But in the first of the three, I believe it is, he says that he goes through a lot of the places where Hilchsa Gemirila does not really mean Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, it just means a long-standing tradition. That's point number one over here. Another point over here, which is this concept that the Gemara says that these people, the Chivi, the Sa'orim, whatever, they were great experts. So we see clearly from our Gemara that Chazal were koveya ashirin halacha based on knowledge of non-Jews who happened to have been bekiyim, who happened to have been great experts in the teva ha'adama, in agriculture and how the ground worked. There is a tshuva in the Chasam Sofer, in Yardeas and Memhei, that a lot of people quote. The Chasam Sofer says, "Hanisayon meyid yoser me elef rayos." That sometimes, when facts are facts, and if we have observable data that tells us something, so you can't bring rayas in halacha against it. If it's observable data, it's observable data. You know that something is true, and we have to accept facts from wherever we find it, even if it doesn't seem to. It doesn't seem to be something that is required by the halacha or something that is confirmed by any pasuk. But if it's a fact, we can be koveya halacha based on facts. I saw this just yesterday. I was looking through. There's a tshuva from Rav Vosner about computer checking Sifrei Torah. Do you need to put the Sifrei Torah through a computer check? So nowadays, I remember when the Gettenbergs gave the Sifrei Torah, he told us it was double checked. And I smiled and nodded, but I didn't know anything about computer checks. So I said, okay, nice, that's great. But what does it mean? So why is it such a big deal? Because when they first developed this computer program to check Sifrei Torah, first of all, you still need a human being. It only checks well for extra letters and missing letters. It checks for everything, but it doesn't do a good job in everything else. But for extra letters, missing letters, it does a very good job. But why is it such a big deal? When they first developed the program, out of the first 100 Sifrei Torah that they checked, they found 81 out of the 100 that were in use and that were muchzuk as kasher had extra letters, missing letters, because there's over 300,000 letters in a Sefer Torah. It's very, very hard to check a whole Sefer Torah. And as good as your Bal Korei is, you know, if there's an extra yud here, an extra aleph there, he may not catch everything. So that's why. And why double checked? Why do they have to check it twice? Because even when they check it, they put it through the computer will highlight, it's very machmir, the computer, so it will highlight a million things, a lot of things that aren't really a problem. In each column, it will highlight 20 problems. So you have to click ignore or whatever. So you end up clicking 3,500 times through the course of a Sefer Torah. One wrong click and you blow it. So that's why getting a double check, the chances that you're going to click wrongly on the same mistake twice is very unlikely. So the Rav Vosner writes in his tshuva about this that it's a chiv to do this. You have to get a computer checked. What do you mean you have to? What did they do 30 years ago? What did they do for the whole Jewish history? They never had a computer check. How can you say it's chiv? So according to this Chasam Sofer, Hanisayon meyed kemeya edim. When there's a fact, when there's a metzias, and you know that the metzias is that 80% of the Sifrei Torah are psulim. If you don't get them checked, so that's the metzias. I don't know what they did. Maybe they had better powers of concentration and they were better at writing Sifrei Torah, or maybe not. But this is the metzias as we have it, and therefore we have to live by that metzias. That's somewhat of a controversial psak, but it's based on the same idea that we're koveya based on the metzias. And the greatest raya is that we trust trust non-Jewish doctors when determining whether we should get surgery or not. Every time you get surgery, you're putting yourself in a pikuach nefesh situation. How can you trust he's telling you that you need to put yourself under the knife? Yeah, because if he's telling you that he's the baki b'chachmas harafua, so you're allowed to rely on that expertise b'chachmas harafua to know how to do the surgery and to know whether you need surgery. All of that is that's what the Rambam writes. The Rambam writes in Kiddush HaChodesh that there are a lot of things about Kiddush HaChodesh, about the way the sun and the moon and everything works, that we know from Chachmei Yavan, and we're Koveya the Chadashim based on the books of the Chachmei Yavan of the Greeks. He says, because we don't have any of the books the Jewish giants in this area. We don't know. We lost all those books, so we rely on Chachmei Yavan to be able to determine these things, and we're allowed to be sumich on them. Again, very very similar. The Raya from our Gemara seems to be a very strong makar for that Rambam, that you can rely on the Chachmei Yomos HaOlam when it comes to teva, when it comes to figuring out if they're experts in a certain field, so we're allowed to rely on their expertise. Okay, says the Gemara further now. New issue. Amar Rav Asi, about 8 lines before the end of the page. Amar Rav Asi, Aruga Tocha Vav Chutz Migvuleha. So when we say that you could plant 5 different plants within an aruga, that's 6x6 tfachim, what we mean by 6x6 tfachim is that there is 6x6 tfachim where there's actual planting. There has to be a perimeter around the aruga also, where people walk around to water the aruga, but that perimeter isn't counting into the cheshbon of 6x6 tefachim. Tanya nami hachi, and we have a brisa that says just like this: aruga tocha shisha. The aruga, the toch of the aruga, the inside of the aruga is 6x6 tefachim. Gvuleha bekama. What's the shear of the gvul? Meaning, we said, okay, so the inside is 6x6 tefachim. How much area do you need around it? So l'may nafkamina, who cares how much area you need around it? Meaning, put whatever area you want around it. What's the nafkamina of the gvul? So Rashi points out over here, if there's nafkamina li'inyan rosh tur, we're going to say that there is a concept called rosh tur, that's when, since fields very often ended on an angle, they came to an end on like at a point like a triangle would, so they could, one field could encroach on another, and it's not going to be an issur of klayim because they're so distinct, because one of them is planted fully and one of them is just coming in to a point at a triangle. But we don't say that by two arugos. We only say that when you have larger fields. So maybe that's the nafkamina. What defines something as an aruga? How much space do you need around it to be defined as an aruga? Tosos, however, says he thinks there's a more simple nafkamina. Tosos says, "V'riyo mer de nafkamina lemekach memkar machar lo aruga ugvuleha." You tell somebody, "I'm selling you an aruga with its gvulim, with its borders, with its boundaries." So how much land do you have to give the person? So that's a very simple nafkamina. It's always the nafkamina, you could say, by mekach memkar. Although right, so to know what people mean when they say aruga bigvuleha. So Tanya Amihachi, Aruga Tocha Shisha, Gvule Bekam. So what's the Gvul? Says Gemara Kedetanan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rochav Kemulo Rochav Parsa. It's the width of the sole of a person's foot. Amr Rabbi Zeir, Vitim Rabbi Chanin, Bar Papa, my time is Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda? Where does he get this idea that the border around the Aruga is the width of a person's foot? Dechsiv, Yeshkiso Baraglecha, Kigan Hayarek. Ma Regel Tefach, Av Gvul Nami Tefach. Pasuk says Vishkisa Biraglicha Kigan Hayarek. So we darshin that the whatever that area around the Gan Hayarek is should be Biraglicha, should be the same as a regel. Just like a regel is a tefach, so too a gvul is also considered to be the gvul is also the shear of a gvul is also a tefach. Amarav Aruga b'chur b'shaninu. So now we're going to have a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says his chiddush here. Shmuel's going to disagree a little bit later on. So Rav says that when we say that when we say that you can plant 5 different types of plants in a single aruga that is 6x6 tefachim, we are talking about dafka, an aruga b'churba, meaning that there's nothing else around that area of the aruga. This aruga is a lone aruga, it's a lone patch surrounded by nothingness. But if it's surrounded by other plants and other patches where you're planting other things, then you're going to run into problems. Forget about the Kilei Zerayim problem within the aruga, you're going to run into Kilei Zerayim problems from between the outsides of the perimeter of this aruga and the perimeter of the neighboring arugos. So it has to be dafka that we're talking about an aruga b'churba. As Rashi points out, b'mishnah seinu lahati b'hezeronim avaloshes svivosea arugos sheilo pirshu l'cha ele hevrseron shabitocha. Because all we gave measurements for is how to keep things apart from each other within this area. V'imtizra arugos svivosea, but if you plant arugos all around it, lo tucha laharchik bein osen shabitocha v'lizra osen shabruchas arugos samuch l'gvul laharchika b'nei emtsai kishiro v'ishata makriva etel zera nizu b'chavrita. You're never going to be able to keep things to plant the way we described in our Mishnah along the borders of your aruga, along the perimeter of your aruga, because by planting all the way up against the perimeter of your aruga, you're encroaching. You're getting too close to the plantings on the perimeters of other aruga, of other arugas. It's al gvul shein beinein al shnei tefachim shel gvul aruga. Because how much space are you going to have between the perimeter of your aruga and the neighboring one? Well, we know how big. Now we just described how big the gvul around an aruga, the empty area around an aruga is. It's exactly one tefach. So that means if you plant up until the end, and then the neighboring aruga plants is also planted up until the end, how far are the two rows of plantings going to be from each other? Two tefachim. They each have their one tefach surrounding their aruga. They're only going to be two tefachim from each other. It's not far enough. In order to distance the unique zakarki, you need 2.5 tefachim, or something like that, like we have in our aruga, where you have along the four sides, and then you have pumped right in the middle, that dot in the middle, so that it leaves that splits the area where you have much more than two tefachim in between. So it's going to be a problem. That's why it has to be that our whole Mishnah is only b'chur, but it's in the middle of nowhere. So frankly, Gemara vayikam makom kranos. But anyway, can't you do it anyway? Can't you plant next to other arugos? If you look at the picture in Rashi, this is a very I don't know if this. If the older printings have such a good and clear picture, but the picture in Rashi, I assume in the printing most of us have, is extremely clear, right? If you look at the picture in Rashi, you have a 9 arugos next to each other. And what did they do? They distanced, they didn't plant along the entire side, the entire northern side, eastern side, western side, southern side of each aruga. They planted only half of each side. And that way, it wasn't, they didn't run parallel to the neighboring, to the plants in the neighboring aruga. Now, when they run perpendicular to each other, they're allowed to be very close to each other. Because the point is not only about sharing yanika, about sharing nourishment from the ground, but if they're clearly distinguishable, they're clearly not part of the same thing, then it's okay to have two different minim, even in close proximity to each other. So you'll notice, yes, you have very close, they're very close to each other when they run perpendicular to each other. Meaning, let's say, take the top right-hand square, and the top left-hand side of the top right-hand square. So you have the vertical line right next to a horizontal line in the next square over. So it's right near each other, but they're running perpendicular to each other, and therefore that's okay. But no two parallel lines are running close to each other, so why that should work out great. So why should it have to be an aruga shebechurba? Just say you're talking about an aruga shebein arugos, and they're not and you don't have any problems with the neighboring arugos. So answers the Gemara: Amri be'Rav mishmei de'Rav b'memalei asakranos. Now the Amri be'Rav says in the name of Rav, we assume that our Mishnah is talking about a case where you are memalei asakranos, where you fill in the entire side, and you're not just planting half of each side of your field, half of the southern side, half of the northern side, half of the western, right? We assume that we're talking about a case where you're actually memalei asakranos, where you're filling in the entire sides. Now, if you fill in the entire sides, well, wait a second, then you're going to have a problem even within your field. Meaning, if you mamish fill it in entirely, so then they're going to be touching each other around the perimeter. If you have the entire northern side filled in and the entire western side filled in, let's say, so then they're going to be touching each other in the corner. So Rashi, look at the bottom picture. So Rashi explains that's what it means, that you fill in two of the sides, and then on the other two sides you just have a little bit in the middle. But since you're on at least two of the sides, you're filling them in entirely, so that's going to be a problem if you're surrounded by other arugos. So says the Gemara, "V'lizrimi avroi v'lolim limigavai." Why don't you plant it on the outside and not fill it in on the inside? Gzeira Shemi Yimali Asakranos, meaning why don't you do like we said in the first picture? Meaning, so we said, no, we're talking about a case where you didn't, but why don't you do it like we said in the first picture? We're saying, you can't even do that because we make a gzeira that we're afraid you're going to be Mimali Asakranos. We're afraid that you're going to start planting half of each side, and then you're going to end up planting the entire side, and then it's going to be no good, then you're going to be encroaching on all the, it's going to be too close to all the surrounding arugos. So says Gemara, V'lo Yehei El Rosh Tur Yerek, why isn't there at least, why don't we have the heter of a Rosh Tur? The heter of Rosh Tur is that sometimes, since plantings can come to an end, they come to a point, so they can encroach on another field in a certain way without worrying about klayim. Milo Tanan, didn't we have a Mishnah? Hayu Rosh Tur Yerek Nichnas L'Toch Sada. If you have a Rosh Tur of vegetation that goes into a field, it's okay because it looks like a different field. I mean, as long as it's visually distinguishable from each other, so that's going to be fine. So why don't we say the same thing by the arugos? Says Gemara, ein rosh tur baruga. There's no such thing as a rosh tur. We don't have the heter of rosh tur in an aruga, in a vegetable patch. Says Rashi, what does it mean, ein rosh tur baruga? Ein toras heter rosh tur me aruga la aruga. Ela misad de gedola l'toch aruga, o me aruga l'toch sad de gedola, o misad de gedola l'toch sad de gedola. That the heter of Rosh Tur only applies when you have a sad de gedola in the mix, when it's either a sad de gedola bordering an aruga, or two sadas gedolos bordering each other. Aval shtei arugos slavi heker el adoma kilu heinachas. But two small patches, even with the Rosh Tur, it's not clearly distinguishable. It's viewed as one big entity. Delo chashiva kolchad debapi nafsha, because each one alone isn't chashiv enough to be distinguishable, and therefore it's going to be a problem even with the Rosh Tur. So that was all Shita's Rav. Again, Rav is the one that said that when we say that you can plant five different things in one patch of 6x6 tefachim, Rav said that means that there's nothing else in the surrounding area. Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel amar aruga bein arugos shaninu. Shmuel says, no, we're talking about an aruga bein arugos. We're talking about where you have a this patch amongst other patches all around it. Ay, v'komisarvi ba'adadi, what's Shmuel going to do about the fact that the whatever I plant around the perimeter of this patch is going to be too close to what's planted around the perimeter of the neighboring patch? Benota shura lekan v'shura lekan. So Shmuel says you pull in a little bit on each side, meaning do like the picture that we had on the bottom. And Shmuel isn't worried about the that maybe you're going to come to be memale, maybe you'll come to fill in the whole side. Now you pull a little bit closer, as Rashi says, not to shulikan, shulikan, mamshich shal ruach zeh, b'tzad keren mizrachus, tzvonis, v'shal ruach zul, b'tzad marovus dromus, v'chein kulam narachikon, shlo yu zeh, k'neged zeh, k'mo shepirish, k'abiyat kafle, d'la el, d'makam kronos. Say like we said before, pull it in just a little bit, where you're not planting along the whole side, where it's not going to run parallel to anything that's too close to it. Amar, so period, that's a machlokas, Rav and Shmuel. Amar Ula, Bo b'marava, they asked the following shayla in Eretz Yisrael. Hifkia telem echad al pnei kula mahu. So the way we painted the picture in the Mishnah was that we had four sides with four different plants, and then in the middle we had one little dot planted right in the middle. What if it's not one little dot? What if you dig something, a tefach deep, a furrow that goes across the entire length of the aruga, and instead of planting one little dot, you fill in that whole area with plants, with a planting, with that fifth min. So what's the din? Amrav Sheshes, but Yirvavitelas Hashur. He says, what do you mean? You ruined everything. The whole point was that you kept a certain distance, and now you didn't keep a certain distance. Now you've planted along the whole length of the aruga, so that's no good. Mevasiyamar ein eruvo mevatel sashura. He says, no, that's not mevatel sashura. It's going to be fine. It's still clearly distinct, and therefore, even though it comes very close to the edges, to the sides where you have other things planted, since it's clearly distinct, it's not mevatel anything. It's still going to be okay. Esve Ravina Lavashi, so Ravina asks on Ravashi, to Ravashi, Hanoter Shtei Shuro Shal Kishuin, Shtei Shuro Shal Diluin, Shtei Shuro Shal Pula Mitri Mutter, Shura Acha Shal Kishuin, Shura Acha Shal Diluin, Vishura Acha Shal Pula Mitri, Aser. How can you say that it's okay to have this one row planted amongst these other single rows? Don't we know that if you plant, let's say in a large field, two rows of one thing, then two rows of another thing, so each one is chashuv enough and distinguishable from the other enough, that you could say that it's not a problem, that they're each independent entities. But if you do one and one and one and one, then they're not independent entities. Then they all look like one, they're one mix, they're all jumbled together, and that's going to be a problem. That's going to be asur. So it says, no, shiny acha, dika shracha. Over here it's different, because they're entangled with each other. If you look at Rashi, dika shracha zmurasein aruchos misarvos harbi milamala v'nira irvuvan b'mekamos harbi. If they mix in a lot of different places, that's where you have a problem. But otherwise, if they're really kept separate from each other, and they're not mixed in with each other, so even a single row is not necessarily going to be a problem. Amar Rav Kahana, new statement, Amar Rav Yochanan, harotza lemalos kol ginaso yerek, osa aruga shishal shisha, va'ogel bachamisha. Meaning, our Mishnah told you how you can maximize the number of types of plantings you have in an aruga that shishal shisha. Rav Kahana, Amar Rav Yochanan says, I'll tell you how you can maximize the surface area of how much you can plant. Meaning, not only can you have five different types of plants, you can plant almost that whole 6x6 tefach square. Meaning, the way we have it in our Mishnah, you're planting very little of the 6x6 tefach. You have to leave so much empty space. You just put one dot in the middle, and you have empty space all around until you get to the edges, right? Until you get to the perimeter of the square. So Rabbi Yochanan says, I have an etza where you're going to be able to plant up the whole thing. Not the whole thing, but almost the whole thing. He says, here's what you do. Osa aruga shishal shisha. You take your 6x6 tefach aruga, v'ogel b'chamisha, and you should make a circle inside that square what do you call it, of the circle, what? No, not the circumference. The diameter of the circle should be 5 tefachim long. Now, if the diameter of the circle is 5 tefachim long, that means that within the aruga, you're leaving a half a tefach on each side of the circle, right? Where the circle protrudes, you're leaving a half a tefach on each side of the circle, because it's 6 tefachim in total. So on each side, you have a half a tefach of the left alone of the circle, plus you have the area around the corners of the aruga. So, and then, umemali kronoseh, kol mashi yirtza, then you can fill in the corners with whatever you want. So wait a second, veika de beini beini, what about the, aren't you getting too close? Meaning we said the aruga is 6 chutz migvulin. Those gvulin, when you plant them, they're going to surround the circle enough, it's going to be mixed in, multiple minim are going to be mixed in with each other. Isn't the circle going out a little too far? So says Gemara, b'marchiv beina beinayim. Meaning if you're planting literally in the corners over there, so we said that's going to be a problem, because then it's going to get too close to the neighboring arugos. Again, assuming like Shmuel that there are neighboring arugos. So he says, okay, b'machrav beina beinayim. So don't plant right in the corners. Leave that machrav. As Rashi says, ve'ino zorin ulmalos. Ulmalos t'kamar Rabbi Yochanan, lav dafka l'malos kol agina kamar, el shu kol arugosah maleos l'olam chutz migvulayen. The gvul won't be full, but you'll be able to fill in a lot more because the entire circle is filled in. Why does this work? Why is that okay to fill in the entire circle? Isn't everything way too close to each other? So the whole yisod of Rabbi Yochanan is that since it's a circle, it's clearly discernible from everything else. And therefore, that makes it mutter. The fact that visually you can see that it's different than everything else that's around it. Rav Ashi Amar Rav Zoran Shesi Zoran Erev, that if it's planted one way in horizontally, you should plant it vertically. Erev Zoran Shesi. Esri Ravina Rav Ashi, Sravina Asra Rav Ashi, Avodas Yerek B'Yerek, Achra Shisha Tvachim, Veroin Osam, Kitavlim Ruva'as. That when do we say that you could plant all these multiple minim together? That's only if it's squared. Only if it's squared we allow it. We don't allow it if it's circular. Apparently circular isn't matter anything. So he says, Hasam la kuliba kula achrina lahat rosh tora yotzei mena. No, in order we only need it to be squared in order to have the kula of rosh tor, that when you have it protruding out, so then it protrudes out into a square, into a neighboring square, that's when it's okay, but not into a circle. But in terms of maximizing the area that you can plant in a particular aruga, then a circle is definitely the way to go. Okay, that's the end of the geometry of Kilei Zrayim. Mir Hashem, tomorrow on to another Minayin, a brand new sugya, Paleta Shech Vazera.